A number of years ago, I went on my first March for Life pilgrimage with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We took about 10 buses and a bunch of kids up to Washington, D.C. for a week to march for the lives of unborn children and their mothers. And upon our return home to Baton Rouge, we got home so late the first year that I wasn't able to make it to Sunday Mass in Baton Rouge. And so I had to go back to seminary, and I got back on campus. And I knew that evening masses on the North Shore, but I'm very much directionally challenged. And so like I have to have some kind of GPS. And at that time, I didn't have a GPS. And so I was thinking, how am I going to find a mass when I can't find my way around town? So I went to this old priest who lived on the campus at the seminary. And I told him my situation. I said, hey, Father, look, I wasn't able to make it to Mass because we got back late from the March for Life. I can't drive around town because I get lost really easily. Long story short, can you say Mass for me right now, just you and me? And he was like, no, I don't feel like it. And I said, yeah, see, Father, here's the thing. Either you're going to say Mass for me right now, or I'm going to come to you tomorrow for confession. I'm going to hog up your entire time in the confessional with my one sin that I missed Mass because you wouldn't say Mass for me. And so he said, okay, fine, whatever, I'll do it for you. All right, so we went to the chapel, just he and I, and started to celebrate Mass together. And I'll never forget his homily. In his homily, he said something I've just never forgotten. He said, man, I tell you, the apostles and the men and the women who were with Jesus 2,000 years ago, they had it so much better than we have it. They had it so much better than us because they got to see Jesus, like in his incarnational form of his body that Mary gave him. They got to see him and touch him and listen to him and sit at his feet and minister with him. That's why they could believe so much more easily than we can believe today, because they got to see Jesus. And I hated to do it, but I had to disagree with him. See, because from my perspective, from the stories I've read in the Bible, a lot of people saw Jesus 2,000 years ago and they didn't believe. They walked past him every day. They thought he was crazy. They did not believe him just because they saw him and they sat at his feet and they ministered with him. That didn't mean that they believed that he was who he says he was, the Son of God. Not only did they not believe that he was the Son of God, but they didn't believe what he said. His own disciples did not believe what he said. Whenever he took his disciples and gave them the bread of life discourse, he said, this is my flesh, right? You must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood and have eternal life. And he said, it is my flesh indeed. This is food for you to feed on. Whenever he said this, the disciples, a third of them did not believe him, and a third of his disciples no longer followed him. They walked away. Just because they heard Jesus say it doesn't mean that they believed him. They walked away from Jesus. Many of the people in the early church didn't treat Christians well. Why? Because they didn't know who the Christians were. They didn't recognize the Christians were the body of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. That's why Saul persecuted them, because he had no idea that this was the body of Christ, the Son of the living God, whom he was treating poorly. Just because they saw did not mean they believe. And so I say it's different. I say whenever we believe, when we really believe, then we and others will be able to see the glory of God. But we have to believe first. We have to believe first. Years ago, I was at my last parish ministering to a young mother who had a daughter who was 7 years old. And ever since her daughter was born, her daughter's name was Mary Catherine. Ever since Mary Catherine was born, she suffered a lot. She went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. She had seizures on a daily basis. And because of her seizures, she wasn't able-bodied, and so she would lay in bed every day. She would lay in bed, and she could not communicate with words, but she could just groan, and she could make noises. And so after my first visit with Mary Kate, I began to go by often because she lived right down the street from our rectory. And I would just sit. I would just sit with Mary Catherine while her mother did chores around the house. And I would look at her, and I would watch her, and I would hold her hand. And I would listen to her make noises. And she taught me so much because, see, I recognized that she was the body of Jesus by virtue of her baptism. When she was baptized, she was no longer just Mary Catherine. She was the body of Jesus Christ. So I recognized when I sat with her okay, right now I'm definitely sitting with the body of Christ. And then after I was sit with her, I couldn't perceive what she was communicating to me because she was just making noises. But I knew she was communicating something. I didn't know what though, but I knew it was something. But what really hit me was after I would spend this time with Jesus Christ and his beloved Mary Catherine, I would leave her and I would be a lot more patient when dealing with other people. I'd be a lot more kind to other people. I wouldn't brood. I wouldn't hold on to things. I would rejoice in that which was true. I would not rejoice in that which is wrong. Right? I wasn't irritable. And not only did I see this fruit, but other people saw this fruit as well. Man, you're so nice. You're so kind. You're not whatever. Right? But and the same thing applied when I was spending time with the Eucharist. Just like when I was with Jesus and Mary Catherine, when I was with Jesus in the Holy Communion, in the Blessed Sacrament, I know he's communicating something to me, but if I'm honest with you, I can't always perceive what. Right, I go to adoration, I look at Jesus, he looks at me. I don't know what he's saying though. Right? I can't always perceive exactly what God's saying to me, though I know he's trying to say something. But I know after I leave Jesus in Holy Communion where he said he was, I'm changed. Not only do I see it, but my community sees it. Same thing applies with the Word of God. Every time I read the Bible, I don't always have these profound insights where it's like, oh, it's really speaking to me loud and clear. Sometimes I can read the same passage over and over and over again, and I don't perceive anything. It's like, oh, I just spent an hour with it, and nothing stood out to me. But I do know that whenever I spend time with the Word of God, the fruit of it is something I can see. I can't see what he's communicating to me. I can't see the graces I'm getting in that time of prayer, but I can see the fruit in my actions afterward. And so can my community. Whenever I didn't spend time with Mary Kate and sit at her feet, whenever I don't spend time with Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, whenever I don't spend time with Jesus in the Scriptures, I can see as well. I'm not as patient. I'm not as kind. I brood a little bit more, not as generous. And not only am I this way, but others can notice it too. Others can see it too. But because I believe that Jesus Christ is in my neighbor, because I believe that Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist, and because I believe that Jesus Christ is in the Scriptures, even though I can't see what he's doing all the time, I prioritize that time. And when I prioritize that time, the fruit is always, it's always there. Jesus Christ gives us the truth. If we just believe it, then we will see. We will see the fruit. Right? Now we have to apply this to our lives. Well, this means then, if Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist, then how do I treat the Eucharist? Like when I walk into church, if he's really in Holy Communion, how do I treat the Blessed Sacrament whenever I walk in the church, when I walk before the tabernacle? Do I acknowledge the Blessed Sacrament? Or do I go first to everybody else and not talk to Jesus? Do I not genuflect to Jesus? When I receive him in Holy Communion, do I receive him, then go back to my pew and automatically start thinking about what groceries I'm going to pick up on my way home? Or do I actually spend time with Jesus, whom I've just received in Holy Communion? If Jesus Christ is really in the sacred Scriptures, if that's the word inscribed, Jesus Christ, then how do I treat the Bible? How do I treat it? Do I let it collect dust on my shelf? Or do I have the sacred Scriptures in a place of honor, in a place of reverence? And do I actually spend time pondering his word? Even when it doesn't make sense to me, do I spend time dwelling on what the word is saying, trusting that he's saying something deep within my soul, even if I can't imagine what it is? How do I treat my neighbor? How do I treat the poor? How do I treat the person who's under the interstate drunk today? Do I just ignore that person, or do I treat that person as if that person really is who Jesus says that person is, the body of Christ? Our invitation this week is very simple. I just want us to get a piece of paper and write down three things. Jesus is in the Eucharist. Jesus is in the Scriptures, and Jesus is in my neighbor. And if I believe that which he says, which that he is in the Eucharist, then how am I going to treat the Eucharist? Because how I treat the Eucharist will affect the way that I grow in holiness, which will affect the way that others see me, and it will be an opportunity for them to see Jesus because of my virtue. How am I going to treat the Scriptures this week? Jesus is in the Bible. How do I treat the Bible? I promise you, if you believe that His Word is what He says it is, you will spend time with His Word. And by spending time with His Word, it will transform us from within. If we're transformed, not only will we see the virtue, but so will others. Others will then ask, why are we so different? We can point them to the Word of God. And finally, write down, Jesus is in, and you fill in the blank. Someone that you're going to spend a lot of time with this week. Jesus is in my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, and my wife, my best friend. Jesus is in my mom, my dad. Jesus is in my son, my daughter. Jesus is in my coworker. Jesus is in my boss. Jesus is in who, right? Put that person's name down who we're going to see a lot this week. And if we really believe that Jesus is in my spouse and my kids and my family, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, if we really believe that, then it's going to change how we treat that person. Right? Jesus doesn't want to be cursed at, right, this week. He was cursed at 2,000 years ago whenever He was crucified. Jesus does not want to be fussed at. He was fussed at 2,000 years ago. Jesus does not want to be mocked. He doesn't want to be gossiped about. Jesus does not want to be persecuted. He was already persecuted 2,000 years ago. So how are we going to treat Jesus and that person that we spend most of our time with? Because what's going to happen is this. They're going to see, whoa, you're treating me differently. And we're going to say, well, I'm treating you differently because of who you are. You are Jesus to me. Right? You are Jesus to me. As Shana said about her son, Liam, said, this is the body of Jesus Christ to her. That's why she treats him so well, because her baby is Jesus to her. Right? Jesus. And if they see, whoa, you're so patient with me, you're so kind with me, tell me more about this Jesus. Sure, I can tell you more. Here's the scriptures. Go to church. There's the Eucharist. Just sit with Him. Spend time with Him. He will reveal Himself to you as He's revealed Himself to me. And the more they spend time and the more we spend time with Jesus in this life, in Holy Communion, in sacred scriptures, and in our neighbor, especially our neighbor who is the most difficult to be around at times, the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we open ourselves to abide with Jesus in this life. And if we abide with Jesus in this life, then we have the capacity to remain with Jesus Christ, where we were all called and created to remain with Him, which is in the kingdom of heaven as saints.